Well, hey everyone, welcome to the Boundless Show. This is Lisa Anderson, and I have got to say happy 500th episode. We've been promoting it quite a while here at Boundless, and the day has finally come here in August of 2017. 500 episodes, which is quite a feat for a show that is weekly. So that's an extended period of time, 9.5 years, people. This show has been on the air, which I can't even go there in terms of my own life. But it's good. I don't have to because I have guests joining me today. Let me tell you a little bit about what's coming up. This is a different kind of show. So later on in the show, we're actually going to have some of your feedback about the show in its entirety. So you have written in testimonials of what specifically, like pulling from your memory, a specific, whether it was an interview, whether it was a comment that was made, whether it was just something that kind of was a game changer for you in thinking about life and faith and relationships. That will be coming up later. And then for our culture segment, we're going to play what is the most popular Boundless culture segment of all time. So the most popular interview that has come through the show in 500 episodes. Not even joking, folks. I actually had to go through them all to put out the poll. So ridiculous. Anyway, but that was a real flashback. And then for our roundtable here, I am joined by classic folks, Stephen Candace Waters and Martha Krinke. Hey, guys.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey.
Martha.
Great. Got the band back together.
Exactly. So, and only because of like time and space restraints could we not pull in like the Teds and the Motts and Anthony and everyone else that's been part of the show over the years. Jeff Kaler, oh my word, still using his original
theme. They're in the cloud of witnesses, though.
They're in the cloud of witnesses. Okay, they're not yet with the Lord, but yes, they're in our cloud of witnesses, I guess. Okay, so we're just going to spend a little bit of time here, y'all, during our roundtable segment, breaking it down and reminiscing about the Boundless show and our personal favorite memories and just the impact it's had and what our vision was for it, blah, blah, blah. But before we begin there, because we have Martha in the studio, we need to just say congratulations to her because she is engaged, people. What? And I told her years ago, I told her she definitely could not get engaged until we celebrated 500 episodes. No, I'm just teasing. But it was so wild that it coincided. So this is really
pretty wild.
Pretty monumental and super fun, Martha, for all of those in our audience who have prayed for you for years, who have felt that sense of solidarity of just rooting for you along the way. And so give us his name.
His name is Tom Reno.
Tom Reno. He's originally from Iowa, people. So that's got to be good stock right there.
I thought so. Yeah. Good place to start.
Very fun. But now living here in Colorado and hopefully getting married this fall sometime.
Yes, that's the plan. We're very early in the planning stages. So
okay.
Yeah.
So I told Martha she has to write us an engagement story, to which she responded, "Have you even been publishing those?" And I'm like, okay,
innocent well, I'm question. Working on it.
So you have, some of you have sent yours in, I know, in the past couple of years, but we need to get a little more intentional about that. But somehow we have to have Martha share her story and stuff because that is exciting and we are celebrating with you. So
thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So flashing back to over 9 years ago. And Steve, I think we have to go about 10 years ago, because I would imagine, in fact, I was saying this before we even started taping, I was not even in conversations when you guys decided that you maybe would start this thing called a podcast. Which honestly, I think Boundless, we had to have been pretty groundbreaking just in general, because as I talk to people about podcasting, I mean, that was in podcasting's infancy as a medium.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
What made you guys, the team at the time, decide to be so cutting edge and saying, we're going to tread into this space?
Well, if you think about it, the Boundless website to begin with came out only a couple of years after web had really gone commercial. And so the website was kind of out early out of the gate. And so we were watching a lot of developments. If you remember, we brought on a blog early on, one of the first in that space for a publication like Boundless to have a blog. And so then when we started seeing, okay, podcasting is a thing, people are doing this, our first experiment with podcasting, we went out to Washington, D.C. We interviewed people like Daniel Crittenden, Scott Croft, several people at Capitol Hill Baptist, and we were going to try to do a series of interviews like that. And we realized that wasn't quite the right format. It really needed more of a personality. It needed more of a program structure instead of just all being dependent on interview. And so that's when we started realizing, okay, we are more writer focused. We don't really bring personality. And so that's when Mott Brown, who was kind of the pioneer of the concept, said, you know, Lisa Anderson could really bring some personality to a podcast. And so that's when we pitched it to Lisa and realized that was the key chemistry that it needed. And really, if you think about it, this was the marriage of sorts between Boundless Off as a web publication and really what's the heart of Focus on the Family and or has been from the beginning, which is that emotional connection of radio, and bringing that to bear and to Boundless. I mean, Lisa really brought that to life, really brought the personality and that kind of special radio connection and audio that is very different from just reading text on a screen.
Okay, well, Steve, I appreciate that, but I do think our fans need to know that it wasn't like I was hosting This American Life with NPR and you guys were like, wooed me on over. I was working here and you're like, you're single and like to talk. Do you want to host a podcast? And I'm like, yeah, let me give it a try. And so
Did you really have no hesitation?
I really didn't, because I thought, you know, this is going to be taped. I'm going to give it a whirl. If they don't like me, they're just going to be like, please go back to your cubicle and continue doing your day job. So, yeah, it was, I figured, and it was fun because we all worked together. So I was really, really started out as your publicist, Steve. I mean, that's how I got to know Boundless.
Right.
And so I felt like I knew the team. And so it was already a fun dynamic. And I knew that I'd be able to give you guys a hard time and then vice versa. And so, so it was really fun to be part of. Okay, and then we had different, we had kind of different iterations of the podcast. We used to have a feature on the podcast called The Hungry Years, which those who are newer listeners are like, what's that? Or else they'll go back and listen to it and be like, what's this thing? Why is this person reading an essay? And I'm like, they wrote that.
Right.
So that was fun. But we always had the advice portion, the inbox, what we called the inbox, and the roundtable. And we used to, the early shows, we started off just by shooting the breeze. And then we decided that was, you know, me in particular, I just shot the breeze while talking about other things, too. So we kind of consolidated there. But Candace, what would you say, like, your role early on, which you were part of roundtables and stuff, too, but obviously having done the inbox very consistently, what are some of your earliest memories as far as being part of it?
Well, I just appreciated so much the chance to interview some of the people that I look to as mentors and heroes. And, you know, Kevin DeYoung comes to mind, and Kay Heimowitz, and Christopher West, talking about the theology of the body, and just fond memories of really being in a great space there at Focus, where they're bringing in people who are standing for truth and, you know, bold in their witness for the gospel and eager to reach a different demographic than they would reach with The Daily Show, and just realizing, wow, this is such a huge opportunity to meet these folks and to ask questions that hopefully serve the audience, different questions than they would have been answering in a different context. So I just love the people that we got to meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, we definitely got a different personality thinking about some of the people who came in and recorded a show for The Daily and then also did something for the podcast. There was Lisa obviously asked different questions than The Daily. And so
quote,
always
different.
And she dropped their titles
think about
and called
you
them by their first name.
Hey, Al, that's so true.
Can I call you Al?
Yeah.
But like when you had Evie on and you were, or Evie, sorry.
Evie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said, so Evie, if you were in a cage match with Sandy Patty, who would win? I'm pretty sure that was the first time she had been asked that question.
It may have been. And then I loved how she, you know, she's just the sweetest little thing, and she tried to deflect and make it into this PR-ish answer, and I'm like, no, really, let's answer the question. So, and when I took Henry Cloud to task too, that was a shining a day. So Martha was producing at that point. Mott was the first producer, I think, of the Boundless show. I remember him always kind of pulling stuff together. And then Martha came in, and her role as editor of Boundless plus producer plus, oh, by the way, you need to be on the show too. So please just fit
utility
that in.
Utility player.
Exactly. So Martha, where did the show, I don't even remember, like, if your memory of the show from the beginning, where did it stand as you came in, and what did you see as your kind of some of the first things that you saw get off the ground as producing?
Well, one thing, when I came on board, there wasn't that full big staff that was on the show regularly.
Yeah.
Would you say there was more having to get fresh guests for the roundtable every week?
Yeah. No, there was no one.
There was no one.
If we're being honest. Yeah. So Martha had to, I mean, she had a ridiculous scheduling job of just wrangling people that, and that was one of the bummers. I mean, we really had to start because we had built up kind of this team dynamic with the previous team and the roundtables and stuff. And now it was like people, Martha's putting in front of the mic and they're like, I've never spoken publicly anywhere, let alone on a show, you know? So,
yeah, I think that was definitely a challenge at the beginning, was really just, let's keep this thing going. And so I had never been a producer before. I'm not sure even how I got hired for that role, but
yeah,
we pulled it together.
And it got really fun because we got to the point where we really did have a wish list of guests for the show as well. And we had some really fun. I think some of them were people that we knew we wanted to get, and we knew, you know, we would go after, like, the Francis Chan type people and the, you know, Jerry Bridges. We got him on the show.
Yeah, that was neat meeting him.
Yeah. I mean, even people, you know, as I was looking back through the shows now, who are now with the Lord, Jerry Bridges being one of them, and just realizing, wow, we now have history in the can.
That's
as
true.
Part of this show. But so neat to see too, just the conversations and the little ancillary, nuggets of things that cropped up in situations that we wouldn't even expect. You know, I mean, you ask someone is known for example, you know, a Randy Alcorn, who's known for his book on heaven, and he knows that he's going to be asked about that. But then I ask him about his marriage, or I ask him, and all of a sudden you have a new little nuance into what someone has to offer and something they can encourage you with. So, so it was very good to see that. Any other highlights? Candace, I'll go back to you. What about the many, many years that you put into preparing and answering inbox questions? Any particular themes stand out there?
I think just of the many times that I felt the weight of wanting to speak with wisdom from God's word to situations that felt almost too much for a podcast. You know, it felt like, wow, we should be having time together, lots of time, maybe even more than one meeting. These are heavy questions. And so just feeling the responsibility for that, but so encouraged late in my time there to discover the Ask Pastor John podcast, and I know I'm nothing like John Piper. I would never claim to be anywhere near his league, but to think, oh wow, he does with the utmost excellence what I've always hoped to do, and to just see that model really was a good way to reach a lot of people with who are having big problems with really substantive answers and in an efficient amount of time.
Yeah. Well, and I don't think, I mean, I want to say too, because I know you won't say this about yourself, but the times when we would talk either off the air or even when we were discussing one of your written advice columns, and you had really approached an answer with tears. And I just remember being so personally touched by that, of how much, like you said, the weight of it and how much you saw it as a responsibility and a privilege to be able to open up God's word and encourage people from that. So thank you for that. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, I want to hear, does everyone have or remember, if you can reach back in your memory, just a moment, a favorite moment with a particular guest or something where you, because of the show, had something that you took away. Maybe you had to think about it later that day. Maybe it was something that was kind of game changing for you, or just someone that you're like, I am so glad they said that because that needed to be said. Any memories there?
I enjoyed having Andrew Peterson in the studio.
Oh, that was mine.
Oh, man.
Hey, Candace, you have to come up with a different one.
I know. I'll be probably talk.
Okay.
But he was a good example of someone who could talk far and wide, even beyond just talking about his new album, which was about to come out. Mm-hmm. And just a very humble guy and very eloquent about his family, about his marriage, about life, and just remembered thinking of the distinctive value of Boundless as a platform for that conversation.
Mm-hmm. He's still my favorite, Lisa. I just love that he agreed to play in the studio for us.
Yeah, that was fun,
too. He brought his guitar and did a little live music, and we all hoped that maybe we could get around all the paperwork of permissions just by saying, could you just play something right here, right now?
Yeah.
I loved all the variety, you know, the academics, the scholars, and then the theologians, and then the lay people who wrote books, and, you know, I'd never heard of Kevin DeYoung until Steve said, oh, yeah, we're having this young pastor guy from Michigan on our show. He wrote a book, Why We're Not Emergent. And I mean, I don't know how big he was when he was on the show, but certainly his influence has gone far and wide since then. And just so thankful that he took the time to come and talk to our audience. And I mean, funny. I think he might have been funnier than you, really.
That is not even possible.
And
whatever.
That's hard to do, Lisa.
That's not even possible.
Candace, do you want to be on the show again?
No. What I think is great about those guys, though, is when when we had them on,
right,
like early on, what was so neat about it is, yeah, they were just, you know, again, what, you know, what had he written at that point, whatever. But now we've grandfathered them in, so now that they're all big stuff, I can go back to them and be like, remember when we knew you back when, so you need to just do our show again and fit us in. So I do that with my friend Al Mohler. I do that with him too. So yeah. Martha, how about you? What's your favorite moment that you remember?
Well, I just think about the roundtable conversations where, when I was producer, pretty much if you were my friend between the ages of 20 and 40 and single, you were going to be on the show at some point. And just really admire how people would open up and talk about their past, their current, their whatever. And I think that's one of the greatest things about the Boundless Show is you hear from your peers of like, wow, they're thinking and feeling the same thing that I am. And that's what makes it feel like such a community with the listeners and those on the show.
Yeah, I was always so impressed by that. I mean, I remember, you know, with the roundtable, I won't, all y'all just have to go back and listen to every show to get these. But I remember one of our guests just saying there in the middle, we were talking about past struggles and stuff. And he was like, yeah, I really struggled with an addiction to prescription drugs, and how just walking through that, and other women like breaking down, talking about the sadness of singleness and feeling left behind and feeling, you know, and struggling with that, and being, having them still in that space. So it wasn't like, oh, now I'm married, so let me talk about my, you know, sad past, but now it's all, you know, I have my princess story. But really them just still being in the middle of it, I thought.
That takes a lot of courage.
Yeah.
And just the vulnerability was neat. I think there's something too cool about Lisa that you make people feel comfortable that they can just spill it out.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Cool.
No, it was fun.
Well, yeah, and just the format itself is already such kind of a high wire act to go in with minimal prep compared to The Daily Show, which has such significant production prep behind it, that I was always a little concerned we're just going to lay an egg and just, you know, be talking a lot but not really getting at something valuable. But it's amazing how often in that spontaneity something would surface that would have been hard to script, and how often people would write in and express how valuable that was. And I think that's when we started recognizing there is something worth that spontaneous approach, even though we realized, okay, there's probably more that we could do to prep and make sure there was some kind of planned spontaneity, if there's such a thing. But just encouraged by how often the spirit would move, and that there would really be a lot of meat come out of it.
Well, I remember saying, I mean, I know I said this when Martha was here, that I consider it one of these specific, like almost a miraculous sense of God's hand on this show and an embodiment of God, you know, treasure in jars of clay. Because the fact that in almost 10 years, I would say boundless, but let's just be honest, I have not been sued. I have not completely devastated my witness. I mean, someone who, you know, where words are many, sin runs rampant, people. So, I mean, I just see like where God really has protected this show. And I mean, the number of people that still write and they're like, this week's show was exactly what I needed to hear because I was struggling with XYZ and all of a sudden it was mentioned in the culture segment or it was, and I'm just like, we never planned that kind of stuff. We never could.
Yeah. And that gave me goosebumps often.
I mean, Martha would read, you know, through our inbox and stuff and what people were writing and everything. And now I'm getting those and it's nutty.
Or the music too of just the right song is cued after that roundtable or culture segment.
Yeah, Dave does a good
job. Yeah, I was just listening to some music during our travel we just had this past week, and our son Churchill was pointing out how great it was and asking who it was and how we heard about him. And I said, well, that started out as bumper music for Boundless, and that's how we discovered this artist. But that was really such a significant part of the personality of the podcast from the beginning.
Yeah, it's so true. Well, oh my goodness, you guys, it's like we're out of time. This is just crazy. But, I mean, I think it is so true, and I want to just give a huge thanks to each one of you personally for your investment in the show and in our audience. And again, you know, we hear from them. We still have people. It's so funny how many people are like, I just found your show a couple weeks ago, and I've already listened to 50 episodes, and I'm going to try to get through all of them. And, you know, part of me wants to give them a little, okay, let's actually still live some life there. But, you know, fit us in where you can. But it really is going through the back episodes and the people that are still getting on board and getting to benefit from the history that is behind us. You guys were part of that. And so I just I want to thank you all personally for being there, being part of it.
Well,
thank you for taking it.
What a joy.
To where you did. It was just—it's amazing to realize now that small foundation on the beginning. To realize I was only a part of that for a couple of years, and to think of just the long-term payoff that you've brought to it, Lisa. Thank you for carrying it so faithfully.
Well, it's been a blast, and now we're on radio, and we're looking forward to seeing what the next 5 to 10 years have ahead of us as well. So. Thanks, you guys.
Congratulations.
Thanks, Lisa. This is fun.
Lisa, it is so fun to talk with you today. Thanks for letting me do this.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you're here in person.
Oh, man. You're
much fun.
You're a great friend. Well, you get so many emails from great fans of the podcast and the website. And so let's just go through some of the questions that come in. For one, what has Lisa learned after all these years about herself as a result of Boundless?
Yeah, it's funny. And sometimes I feel like I've just like known Boundless my entire life, but I really haven't. I mean, I got acquainted with it probably about, I don't know, 8 years ago at this point. And I was working here at Focus on the media relations team, got to know the guys who were running Boundless and started being in these conversations with them. And they were talking about marriage and about being intentional in marriage and how marriage is biblical. And I was kind of like, well, I'm single and I haven't really thought that much about marriage. So what? So I started asking them questions. And then I started, as I was dating, I would go and like get advice from them, you know, about my dates and discovering that maybe some of these guys that I was dating weren't the best. And I was like, what? You know, well, they're available. What?
Yeah.
And so realizing that maybe I needed to have some better qualifiers. Mm-hmm. And so I think I have seen really my attitude change. I mean, I tell people, I simply state it by saying that Boundless has truly revolutionized my view of marriage and mm-hmm. how I should approach marriage, even as a single person, and how God values it, how the Bible threads marriage throughout it, beginning and end included, and just how really we need to live all aspects of our lives more intentionally as single young adults, as married people, and just recognize that God has stories for us and he's weaving them and we need to get on board.
Well, I've felt for years that you're like a voice crying in the wilderness, because what you're saying really is revolutionary, because there are so
many... Sometimes just crying.
Yeah.
It depends. It depends on the day.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the many things I love about you, right? But you said, you know, your view of marriage has changed exponentially, but what other ways have you grown personally and by being involved in the ministry?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it's so funny because I often use this as an example to those who are in college and just starting out, of how you truly don't know what God has for you until you are walking that step that day. Because I started out with an English lit degree. I thought I was going to be a professor. Then I doubled my major to communications. I did some work in journalism. And then I did a long stint in PR. And that's what I figured, that's my stuff. That's my wheelhouse. That's what I know. And just through a series of circumstances, I was actually considering another job, considering moving to Kansas City. And I just truly felt, after getting some counsel and after praying about it, that God wanted me to stay here at Focus. And so I was like, okay, I will. And even though I felt like PR had kind of played out, I wasn't really sure where I was and what I was doing, if I should continue. And it was just a few months later that I started with Boundless. And so God kind of opened that door. And I've kind of just told people, you know, as God opens doors and as God reveals to you who you are and what your giftings are, just don't be afraid to walk through them, because sometimes you're going to have great opportunities. Maybe some things you'll fail at. Sometimes you'll be laid off. I mean, people are, and this is the reality of life, but God is always using every one of your experiences to craft you into who you will be. And there's just so much to be learned from that. And I mean, Boundless has been huge. I never thought I would host a show. I never thought I would be public speaking. I never thought all these things I never thought I would do, and just meeting all the great people that I meet through Boundless, it's been so exciting.
That's just so powerful. I heard somebody say the other day that God almost never reveals his great plan for us in one big unveiling. He does it one faith step at a time. And you just modeled that by going, okay, what's my next step? Kansas, stay here. And he didn't unveil it all at once, but you walked closely with him enough to know the next step. And I'm thinking of that person going, I want the big unveiling, and or this calling is hard. I know that you're no sissy. I know that every day hasn't been easy, but I really think that is where and when we grow. So how have you grown as a woman, as a Christ follower, but also as a leader of a major ministry, through the bumps and the knocks and just the daily obedience?
Yeah, I think primarily, I mean, the biggest thing for me that I've noticed is how I have been able to connect with the audience through just being real. You know, when I started hosting the show, and the guys who ran Boundless at the time were such great guys and had so much wisdom, but they were married and had kids, you know, and they were kind of like moved a little bit beyond. And so they spoke kind of as mentor voices. When I started with Boundless, I was right in the fray with everyone else. I am single. I am walking through the world of dating and all of its weirdness. I was, you know, struggling with my career. I was trying to balance my family and figure out how I relate to them. And so that's always the voice that I've tried to be here at Boundless, is I am just with you. I mean, some of our listeners, I'm maybe a few steps ahead because of age or life experience, but I just feel like I have learned how to trust God in circumstances when I don't know what may be thrown at me. I've learned that God can use me in any season of life. Like right now, it is as a quote unquote career woman or whatever he wants me to do. I still hope for marriage. Maybe that'll be another season. And so just recognizing that God has good stories for us and good things for us, and we just have to be willing to wait for them and see them as they come.
You know, that's one of the things that I so love about you. You know, you have two kinds of speakers who are speaking. You have some who got their message, they Googled it, you know? They're relaying somebody else's hard-fought battle message. And so they've got the outline and they sort of just, you know, Googled it, and then they're relaying it. Then there's the speaker who imparts life because they're drawing from the depths of their soul because they've had to live it. Mm-hmm. And you've had to live it. And so what comes out of you is so compelling because it's truth. And so when I think about that, that's where the fruit is, I think, for you as I watch you, Lisa. And again, people can stand on the outside looking in going, she's so popular, she's so well followed, and that's all true. But you have the daily grind, and you have to daily deal with some of the things. And one thing you said even before the interview is just a situation that came up that reminded you once again, I'm single, and I don't have someone next to me to carry mm-hmm. this load. Maybe just speak to that about one of the hardships, really, of being single and not wanting to be.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many hardships. I mean, it's like, my life is so terrible. No, I mean, I'm not saying that. But I mean, there really are hardships that I think a lot of it is just so many of the pains that I feel and I hear from boundless folks as well are birthed primarily out of misunderstandings and people who just don't understand us and don't understand the path that we're walking. And case in point, the example I was sharing with you was just an email I had sent to someone in leadership in my church and had asked a question and had just gotten this short response and felt very just kind of ignored and kind
dismissed.
Of like, yeah, dismissed. And kind of it was just, again, like, I am not your priority, you know, and I've often told people and, you know, this is something that I write about often and tell people when I'm trying to get them to understand what singleness is like, especially for a single woman, is to understand, to reconcile that on this earth, I am no one's most important person, you know, and that's hard. I mean, it's like, you know, people that have spouses, you know, they have, oh, I knew I would cry. Or
it's
cry.
All right.
people have spouses and who know, like, what it's like to have that person who has to wrestle through this stuff with you and be with you in life. And, you know, like, I've jokingly, let me regain my composure. Okay. Like, I've jokingly told people, you know, here on the show about this time when my fence was all broken down and I had to get it fixed. And I'm like, I don't know anything about fences. I don't even know fence companies. I don't know what needs to be fixed. I don't know if I call and get a quote, if I'm going to be ripped off, you know, or whatever. But it's like there's no one else in life that has to worry about my fence. You know, there are well-meaning people that want to say, oh, I can refer you to someone who can fix your fence. But no one has to worry about that fence getting fixed. And so I think that's something that, like, single people can feel very alone in and just, like, doing life by themselves. And, you know, there's something to be said for the companionship of marriage and the accountability of marriage and being in a relationship where you just know that that person is going to know you from beginning to end. They're going to walk with you. And obviously, you know, under God's design, they're going to stay with you. And so I think, like, just wrestling with that kind of stuff and realizing that, wow, okay, you know, I mean, here we throw around, whether it's on the Focus on the Family daily broadcast or whether it's on Boundless or wherever, we always say, you know, well, you have to have your identity in Christ first. You know, no husband's going to complete you. No wife is going to meet all your needs. No this or that. And that is something that the singles, I think, learn through the school of hard knocks, because that is so true for us. We do. We have to rely. I mean, Christ is the one who has walked my entire story with me, with the exception of my mom, bless her heart. She's been there for a lot, but she doesn't live with me now, so she doesn't see me day to day. But to just recognize that I do truly, my hope is in the Lord. That's who it has to be in, because I can't rely on anyone else, and I'm a living example of that.
You know, and that's a truth, but it's still a hard-fought truth. Mm-hmm. It's so easy for a married person to say, get your identity in Christ. It's still a truth. But, you know, I struggle with some constant health challenges as a result of Lyme disease. And I can't, if I had a dime for every healthy person who said, you know, you got to trust in God and just be thankful for what you do have. Okay,
right.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But you still don't know what you're talking about. Because
yeah.
It's hard when things go bad for me health-wise,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I have a girlfriend who's a single mom, and her electricity went out. And again, nobody stepped up. And she was crying on the phone to me going, I don't want to care about electricity, but I have to.
Right.
And
right.
That is a reality. And I know this was hard for you, Lisa, but I appreciate you
yeah.
being so honest, because we, you know, those of us who are married have to remember that you do carry an extra burden. You
yeah.
just absolutely
yeah.
do. And we've got to walk
well,
with you.
Well, it's so
that.
True, Susie, because I too have health challenges. I have rheumatoid arthritis. And I've often thought to myself, when I can get really, you know, in a negative downward spiral about it. And especially now as my mom is aged and I'm seeing my mom walk through this with the benefit of having six children and daughters who care and are in her life and who are caring for her and managing her appointments. You know, I was visiting her over Christmas and it just struck me, who will do this for me? And it was a very sad moment and a very alone moment. And it was so great to have a friend of mine who really encouraged me by saying, Lisa, you don't know. First of all, you don't even know what your future is. You know, you don't know that you're going to be in that situation. So that was a good wake up call, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just like one foot in death's door, going to my own bad place. But she said, also, you don't know that God's not going to place specifically on someone's heart in the church that you're at that time to care for you and to be that person and to step in. And it's not, you don't have to say, I don't have children of my own and I don't have this story and I don't have the benefit of this, because we're not guaranteed anything, truly. You know, and so what does it look like for me to hope in God as my provider, and how he provides can work out any number of ways. And so that's where I have to understand his goodness in my life and recognize that the story is yet to be scripted as to how it's going to play out.
And, you know, even married people, we have to remember this. Our hope is in God, not in man. Mm-hmm. And so it is, again, a hard-fought truth, but so important. Well, I'm going to switch gears, if you don't mind, because I know this question comes at you often. How do you handle the popularity?
I just don't even believe it. That's kind of how I handle it, first of all. I mean, it's so weird, because I think, you know, every week when I come down here, it's just, I just feel it's me and some friends sitting in a studio and talking about our lives, you know, and I don't realize that now the show is getting almost 400,000 downloads a month, and there are people out there listening, and we hear from them, and it's just weird. And I feel like there are a couple of moments where I've had that weird sense of how I knew what Dr. Dobson used to feel like when people walk up to him and they feel like they know him and feel like they're his, you know, dad and stuff. And I've had that as I've traveled, you know, when Boundless fans come up and they're like, Lisa, remember 6 months ago on the show when you said, and I'm like, no, I really don't. I just always feel like I'm just in a conversation and just whatever. And when I was traveling, it was a few years ago, I was out in London, and just a group of Boundless fans pulled together this meetup, and there were 20-some of us, and hey, guys, if you're listening, and we got together, and one of them just talked about, you know, how she was so excited because she had friended me on Facebook, and I accepted her friend request, and then I just posted on her wall, and I said, hey, thanks for the friend request, and I'm so glad you listened to the show, and just stay in touch, and she said, I just couldn't even believe that you wrote on my Facebook wall. She said, I couldn't even believe it. And I said, well, you know what? You know, I host Boundless. I don't host Oprah. And and she was so cute because she said, but you're our Oprah. And
oh,
it was just so cute. Just that connection. I mean, I just think it's by virtue, again, of the fact that I just want everyone to know that I'm a normal person and I'm walking through the stuff that they're walking with. And I just happen to talk about it to a lot of people. But, you know, it's funny. People will recognize me by my voice, you know. And you know, sometimes when they come to visit Focus, if I'm walking through the hall and they've set up an appointment to come see Boundless or whatever, they're like, I knew it was you. I heard you in the hall. And it's just cute and it's fun. And, you know, I hope I don't see myself, you know, building any mansions anytime soon or being like, you know, needing restraining orders. So that's good. I still talk to anyone. I still, you know, go to their homes if they invite me. It's just, yeah, it's all good.
You know, another thing, too, that I know about you is your walk with God is something you take very seriously. And I'm sure that's what keeps you so grounded, is you know who you are and whose you are. And I think that's a powerful
thing. Oh, yeah. And my friends are so cute. You know, I have single girlfriends that are just like, you know, we knew you before no one else knew you, okay? And so they'll jokingly say, you know, everyone just thinks that you're all great and stuff. But I know that yesterday you said this and you were angry about this and you were so. Good friends and good family members also keep it real.
So, so good. Well, has your perspective on singleness and marriage changed over the years?
Yeah, I would say it definitely has. And it, you know, has just in a couple different ways. One, you know, I would say is that singleness, and this is so thematic through Boundless, is, you know, it used to be kind of this idea of, well, you know, of course I'm going to get married someday. It was just the assumption that, you know, it'll happen, of course, and it's fine. And in the meantime, I'm just doing life and that's good. But I think I never realized that God truly does use both our singleness and our marriage to craft who we are again, and to really grow us and teach us and sanctify us. And there is sanctification in the season of singleness, and there is in marriage, you know. And we often say, oh yeah, well, that person needs to get married because they need to get over themselves or whatever. And God can do that for single people as well. But I think truly to understand, one of the things about marriage I think that has changed for me is this idea that this is not going to be some end goal. It's not going to be something where my life is going to start now when I get married, because then, wow, what have all these years been? But it's going to be something maybe that God uses differently, or God has brought me and then this person. I think it'll be revealed at that time, maybe, what that whole purpose was. But also to just recognize that, you know, and I love how many people have said this. Gary Thomas has said it. Tim Keller said it. You know, John Piper said it, that marriage is not about me anyway. I mean, any relationship we're in, it's about the Lord anyway and what he's going to do through that. And so for me to just get over myself and not be, I'm not going to bring anything amazing to the table. I'm not going to bring anything horrific to the table. It's going to be two sinners. We're going to be serving the Lord. And that's exactly who I am now. I'm a sinner serving the Lord in the capacity that he's given me to do. And relationships, you know, I want them to be important to me. I want them to be part of my life, and I want to grow through them, and vice versa. And God does that in so many different ways.
Such a healthy, wonderful perspective. You know, I know for me as a writer and speaker, whenever I'm tackling a topic, I sort of go through the meat grinder first. You know, I mean, God really drives it home into my soul in such a deep way. And I'm wondering for you, I mean, you've had to wrestle out with and come up with a biblical stance on these different topics, and you do so well. But one of the questions that came in is, had you not gotten involved with Boundless in 2008, who do you think you would be? Do you think you'd be a different person with a different perspective? Has being forced to reconcile some of these things changed you in that way?
Yeah, I think it has. And it's weird because I think people think of me as some kind of like expert on relationships. And I'm like, wow, if you looked at most of the relationships I've been, you probably wouldn't even listen to a word I say. But that's, I think, just a great example of how it's entirely God working through me, and how he's taught me every step of the way the stuff that I'm telling everyone as I do it. So, I mean, I think I would say it's interesting because I look back on my 20s, and I've described them even on the show as kind of a weird wasteland where I felt like there wasn't, and I know being a 20-something is hard anyway. You know, we're making a lot of decisions about life. We're trying to find ourselves. And I pretty much took the good whole decade to do that. I didn't go on the fast track. I moved around a lot. I took a lot of jobs. I tried to find really where I should be. And so I think as I've grown, it's been a lot of just settling into who I am. And that's one thing I really appreciated about my 30s, is just finally coming to rest in like, okay, Lisa, this is what you're about. This is what you're good at. This is not what you're good at. And just be okay with that, and to feel like I kind of came into my own and that I was confident with who I was and what I was doing. One of my sad things is that I wish that my dad could have been around to see that, because he died when I was 30. And so he kind of, I was still in a weird, restless phase then, just kind of starting to get my feet under me. And I think he always kind of wondered, wow, you know, is she going to turn out okay? I'm not really sure, because she seems to be a little scattered. And so I think there's been a lot about, you know, my 20s moving into my 30s, where I've just grown and matured, and in so many ways. I mean, it's like 12 shows worth of like, in how I treat men, how I view men, how I treat my sisters in Christ, how I treat my family, how I honor my mom, how I serve in the church. I mean, it's just been, it's been drinking from the fire hose.
So good. Would you say that your being part of Boundless has helped you reconcile your singleness even now, and shaped your perspective on why you're not married yet?
It has, because I think I went, I mean, I guess in two different ways. I've been kind of very, you know, having vastly disparate views. In my 20s, it was very much like, marriage is in the future. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I really didn't think about it at all. And then I went through a season in my 30s where it was extremely like, if I don't get married, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know. Why isn't this my story? What is wrong with me? A lot of self-doubt, a lot of frantic feelings around relationships and around marriage. And I feel like now, just in the last year or two, I've kind of come to this peaceful place of really understanding. And it was another great girlfriend who helped me see this. She, you know, she was talking about praying for me, and she said, Lisa, I wish I could just say, you know, oh, you're going to get married, you know, I mean, how everyone, you know, all the platitudes that people give you, you're so great, of course you're going to get married. And she said, I honestly can't say that. I don't know that that's in your future. I don't know what that's going to look like. And I think once I realized that, and once I realized that I need to stop scrambling and frantically wishing for and being worried about whether or not this will be part of my story, because so far it hasn't been, and it's not how I would have scripted it. But I do realize that there are many things. I mean, I also would have never been probably involved with Boundless had I gotten married and had I moved down a different journey. So it's kind of like, it's made me recognize that where I am right now is where I need to be. And not that I don't, I need to live where I am now intentionally and be content in that and trust God in it, but also be hopeful for the future, be intentional about the future as well, and be open to what God may bring. And to not just say, I'm single and loving it, and I'm going to be this, you know, feminist icon who's going to be all about the women and stuff like that. Mm. But to recognize that marriage could be a good thing for me too. And mm-hmm. I need to have an open hand when I look at it that way.
Wow, such an amazing perspective. It reminds me of the scripture that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. To me, mm-hmm. godliness is that forward-moving faith, walking with the Lord, but embracing faithfulness in the now, going, I'm not made for this place, but I'm going to steward it until mm-hmm. I see where he brings me next.
Yes.
And that is powerful. Well, this would be a great place to give this follow-up question from one of your many fans and friends. And this is the question. Who do you tend to blame the most for your singleness? Or who do you think is most responsible? Yourself, God, your parents, etc.? That's a loaded question.
It is loaded. The short answer is I blame my 20s on myself, my 30s on men, and now as I'm heading into my 40s, I'm blaming it on God. I'm just like, that's where it is. That's where I'm putting it. No, I don't know. I mean, I think, and this is a weird tension too, because I think that there is some blame to be had for where we are culturally with the way we view marriage, both individually and corporately. I think there are reasons why we have protracted singleness in our culture, especially among the Xers and millennials. I think there are reasons why we have divorce at the rate we do now. And I think it's problematic. And I think we need to look at that and take responsibility for it. At the same time, I can't sit there and say, had I done this when I was 26, I would certainly be married now. I mean, that is like crazy making for me to sit back and parse everything in my life and think that, oh, I mean, I made all these crazy mistakes and I need do-overs and I need to fix that. It's just not possible. I mean, it could, why am I single now? It could be because of maybe some weird choices I made in my 20s, you know, and I do realize that I made some missteps and that I did, you know, act weird. And I mean, I was in a Christian college, for crying out loud. If I can't find a guy there, what, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and I've had people tell me that. But at the same time, I have to recognize that it also could be because God just has not wanted me married yet. And I need to be okay with that. And I need to recognize that I will not know this story until I see him face to face. I will not see that back, you know, backside view of everything and how it all worked together. And so I think it's, you know, again, that tension of just recognizing that, you know, yeah, there's some blame. There are things that I could do differently. I don't just want to sit back and throw my hands up and be like, well, it's just in God's hands and I need to just whatever. And meanwhile, I'm just, you know, sitting at home with an Afghan over my legs watching romantic comedies. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not okay. But at the same time, I need to be like, you know, I can't sit here and beat myself up for decisions that were made, decisions that weren't made, and anything that could come.
Boy, great insight. You know, as a mom of three sons who are grown now, I think this applies to your situation as well. But we so often want to make a formula out of things. Mm-hmm. And something God has shown me is I'm not bound by a formula. Mm-hmm. Your life is an offering. And if you just offer it up in faith, the good, bad, the ugly, the mistakes, I'll work all things together for the good. And that is so helpful, because I think if we do the formula that we think works and it works for us, we are a terrible comfort to somebody who did the same thing and it didn't work for them. You know what I mean? You become like Job's friends. What you ought to have done, you really blew it back then, and God can't redeem that. That's dangerous thinking.
Yeah. And there are some, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, if I could go back and relive portions of my 20s, there are some things that maybe I would change given the opportunity, including some very bad fashion choices, but and maybe some haircuts that maybe kept me single. I'm not sure. But no. But at the same time, I see it all as what it is, and I see it as, again, it allows me, and again, I've been in relationships within the last 5 years that I'm like, why was I in that? Why can't I do that over, you know? But again, it's like, walk through it and God, trust God in it and trust God for my past as well as for my future and know that he's, for some reason, working through that even now.
And I think just what you just said is going to be of great encouragement to so many people, because we beat ourselves up if we don't do the formula. I think it's just dangerous thinking. Mm-hmm. So now, switching gears again, a little more personal, as if we've not been personal enough as it is.
Oh, great. Yeah,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, here it comes. You have a lot more to your life than Boundless, this listener asks. What excites you and what fills your free time?
Yeah, and this is so funny because it's like, honestly, I feel like even when I'm sitting, when I'm going out with friends, especially when there are new people in the group or whatever, they'll find out that I work for Boundless, or they'll learn that I talk a lot about dating, and all of a sudden it's like their dating lives are on the table, and I become this like weird, you know, I'm like the person that everyone wants to bring along to coffee to just answer questions. So it's really weird. Yeah, so I try not to get into that role too often. When I'm not doing Boundless, when I'm not working, which is, you know, thank goodness, you know, I try to keep it balanced pretty well. But I just got involved here in town in a church plant. So that's been really neat to recognize. And of course, we're excited about this heading into a fall campaign with Boundless, where we're talking about the importance of the local church. It is so necessary for families and for single people to be involved in your local church, and people that know you and love you and care for you and are going to be keeping you accountable. So I've now done that on a small level. I went from a big church with a lot of structure and a lot of programs to now just like we set up chairs and we have this one sound guy and I'm in the nursery every few Sundays. And so it's kind of all hands on deck, and it gives me a great spirit of community to be part of that. And when I'm not doing that, I'm still in touch with my family a lot. I like to keep up with them. I travel a lot, both to visit them, and I am really cultivating friendships with girlfriends in that sense. And so I do that. And just for fun, I love to travel. I love to hike. I run just pretty much to counteract my love of pastries for the most part and chicken tikka masala. So I stay busy. Mm. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good life.
Yeah.
So what are there any misperceptions, assumptions that you get a sense that people have about you that you would like to dispel right now and say that's just not accurate?
Yeah, well, first of all, if this hasn't been dispelled, I think truly people have not even been listening to the show. But I have so many people that think a couple things. One, that I have it all together. I've been like so many people just think, you know, well, Lisa, you know, you don't make missteps and you haven't had a hard life and you have so much confidence, you have so much, you know, whatever. And they just assume that. Oh, Lisa, your life is just so great. You know, you'd alluded to it a little bit, Susie, but that's so not true. And it's funny because I tell people that actually I'm pretty much a borderline introvert, actually, which I think people find it hard to believe because I'm so like on the show. But I really do like to go and recharge kind of by myself. Now, I can certainly be on when I'm on, and I'm very interested in people and I love talking to people and love doing stuff. But I'm not this person that's just, you know, oh, take the whole world by the horns and be like super, you know, I'm not, like I said, I think people just think I have it all together and I don't. And that is so not true. And so stop thinking that, people.
Yeah. And you're so right, because you do say that so honestly. But it's like nobody hears that because they hear your content and your confidence and your conviction. And
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, what are some things that are on your bucket list that you still hope to do one day?
Well, a big one right now is I am working on a book, and I'm just like, Lord, can you just help me write this thing and get it done? And it really is kind of the book that I feel I have spoken about 500 times. It's what I always tell people when they ask me about my story, when they ask me advice on dating and relationships. And it's kind of like one of those things that I wish I just didn't have to say the same thing over and over again. So finally, I've decided to try to put it on paper. So that is one thing that I'm looking forward to finishing and being able to kind of put out there. I would also love to learn the guitar. And I've told people, you know, not in like this amazing, like I'm going to be this amazing guitarist. I like to learn a few chords and be able to like, you know, strum around a campfire. So, but I've never been able, I played the flute for years and years and I still play that. But I've just thought that would be something fun to do. And there are so many, I mean, I guess I'm just learning about a lot of things that are out there that are just, I mean, again, through the show, I've been able to elevate a lot of great ministries and just what people are doing that's just amazing in ways. And I think anything that God opens up for me to do, whether it's encouraging other people along or helping, you know, gain some recognition for great things other people are doing or get involved in some of those things myself. I mean, I'd love to see that in the future.
So good. When you look at the journey God's had you on thus far, here's another question. How has being single made you stronger, and how has it maybe affected you in a negative way?
I would say it's made me stronger in allowing me to truly become resourceful. I mean, there are a lot of things that I've had to learn and had to be able to accomplish and do because I'm single and because I now own my own home and I kind of, you know, have finally, you know, stopped paying someone to do my taxes. figured out how to do it. You know, all that kind of stuff, just life kind of things, I think. I think also I've been able to take in a lot of people's stories, you know, by virtue of being able to meet so many different people as a single person, because I don't have that family to focus on. So I develop a lot of different relationships. And I just love, I mean, our listeners know this, I love the elderly, and I love mm-hmm. talking to older people, and I love ministering to them and spending time with them. And so just getting those perspectives, I think there's a lot of opportunity in that. One of the downsides for sure is I'm in a constant battle against selfishness. I mean, I can manage my own time, my own money, my own wants, my own. I can, if I'm not into a particular person at this time or they're bugging me, I can walk away and go shut my door in my home and just forget about them. And I think marriage provides such a great kind of little petri dish for, you know, really great sanctification and for getting into the hard things. And for me to really be real with people, it has to be a very intentional process. And so that's one of the downsides of singleness that I think a lot of people don't recognize.
That's amazing. Your insights are amazing, really, Lisa, when I think about, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but as someone who's not married, to understand what happens in marriage and what it does for your character and to your character. I mean, you've got such a grasp. I mean, really, you're going to be an amazing wife someday. Oh. I'm just saying.
Thanks. So, well, I keep learning from people. Yeah. It's so great because I keep, you know, and that's, I tell our folks that all the time, is that don't just think that you're single now, so all you do is hang out with single people. You know, constantly be looking to that next stage, and you need to have other people in your life who are married and other people who, you know, have walked through other things so that you're always getting that perspective.
Lisa, what are your hopes and dreams for the future of this podcast?
Well, obviously, Susie, I mean, I have dreams, you know, and I'm having to cast vision for young adults here at Focus and for this department and for Boundless. And of course, we have to worry about all that kind of stuff. I would love for this podcast to grow in numbers. I would love for more people to be introduced to it. I would love for more people who do not know Jesus to be introduced to it. Just people who straight up need some dating advice, or who a friend tells them, you know, hey, you might want to check this out. These are pretty normal people who are walking through some stuff. You know, we are actually, we found out that Boundless was number one in decisions for Christ among all of Focus's ministries.
Wow.
As far as the people that are in our sphere and who are making decisions for Christ or making spiritual decisions around their life. So that's been a huge privilege for us. I would like to continue breaking new ground. I think we do that topically. I think we do it by being so quick in our turnaround and by really being willing to talk about hard stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, we try to be real. And one of the other things that I really have to do is look about, you know, the future of the show. Like, who will be the next host? I'm not going to be around here forever, people. Okay. So, I mean, I want to be cultivating and pouring into other people as well. People that can be an influence and people that can speak to these issues for the generation to come.
Well, you're real visionary. I have one last question for you. Who would be your dream person to interview?
I kind of have two. I still am determined that Martha is going to get me John Piper at some point.
Sure.
He was my pastor for a while. I think it would probably turn into a personal counseling session because I would just be like, Dr. Piper, please tell me about that. He's one of those guys that there aren't many people that intimidate me. He kind of intimidates me because I just feel like every time he looks at me, he's like, oh, Lisa, sorry that you're just not very spiritual and you don't know anything about scripture and you don't know. I just feel like, whoa, why do I just feel so weird with him? My other person is Elizabeth Elliott. Mm-hmm. I would have, and I know that because of health, she doesn't do interviews anymore. And that is a huge sadness to me because her life, her story, her ministry, whether Passion and Purity, the other things she's written, her story about life in South America, and just all that she walked through has been a huge encouragement to me. So that's one big loss that I've had to reconcile to myself.
Well, Lisa, first of all, thank you for investing your life in the hearts of singles, because
thanks.
What you're doing is preparing people for marriage. So it's, you're investing in marriage as well. But for investing so much of your soul and yourself and being so honest about your journey, it's just, it's a beautiful thing. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Susie, for being willing to ask the questions. It's been good.
Great
but
to
hard.
Be with you.
But
yes,
good.
You did great. God bless you, honey.
We'll be right back.
folks, we promised that for this episode, as we finished out the show, we would share comments from you. I put a shout out for everyone to send in their testimonials about how The Boundless Show has impacted you over the past 500 episodes. And you did write them in, and it's been so fun reading them. We have taken a sampling of all of those and put them together. And I have Dave and Catherine here, our new producer. Hey, Catherine.
Hey.
And Dave.
Hey, what up, Lisa?
We thought we'd let you in the studio, actually, though the jury's still out on how successful this will be. We'll see.
Yeah. Look, once every 500 episodes
is great.
We thought
we'd introduce, Dave's voice into the mix because he's been part of it from almost the very beginning.
Episode number two.
That's pretty
so
awesome.
So not the beginning.
Yeah. Well, the first show was a demo.
Oh, okay.
So they just aired the demo for show number one.
Very cool. He's hung with us. Okay, so we're going to read some of these. We're going to throw out the person's first name. You guys will probably recognize yourself here. We're just going to take turns, read them through, and you guys be encouraged by the impact that The Boundless Show has had on other friends of Boundless, as well as hopefully yourself. So Catherine, you're kicking it off.
Yes, I was just saying I'm pretty impressed by Latrice. She says, I'm 90% sure I've listened to every Boundless episode from its inception. You, Lisa, have echoed my heart's conviction that God's loving kindness is better than all of life, that heaven is my true reward, and that the pleasures of God's presence can satisfy my every need. Thank you for not succumbing to the belief that to be single is to be subpar, sub-Christian, or even subhuman. Thank you for speaking into the culture when there are so few voices out there.
That's awesome. All right. Alexandra says, your podcast has been one of my best finds of 2016 and my 20s. I love the discussions which cover productivity and social media usage. My personal favorite was the inbox on identifying anger and managing it. I was also super thankful for the segment on strong-willed women. Another which really hit home was covering broken marriages of parents. The discussion softened my heart as my parents' marriage was not based on Christian values, nor were they proving to be a positive example in any way. It's still a struggle, but knowing Christ and having my church family and you guys share your experience have been immensely helpful.
Wow. And Laura says, I spent my teens and 20s as an alcoholic, addict, thrill-seeking, spitting, cussing feminist. God called me back when my world came crashing down, and I recommitted my life to him and joined a church. I found The Boundless Show about a year ago and have been so impacted by you all. I look forward to listening to it every Thursday morning. Boundless gives me a model for how to live life well. I'm learning to be a godly Christian professional woman and hopefully someday a Proverbs 31 wife. Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, and not only did the women write in, we had some guys write in, and this is from Scott. He said, if I had to nominate one moment from Boundless, it is being taught about owning my story. I came away with a fuller understanding of how my upbringing, life experiences, and faith journey have all shaped me. I felt that I wanted to remember to trust God for what I am hoping for in life.
That's cool. And Karen said, the August 2013 episode when Susie Larson interviewed Lisa was one of the most impactful episodes for me. Whereas so many of the resources directed towards the single experience boil down to self-help and the same dry advice, reconstituted with a splash of milk, the interview was in contrast an encouragement to hear. Thanks to Boundless, I understand that my identity is based on who I am and what I have in Christ, rather than what I'm missing as a single person.
Oh, thank you, Karen. That's very sweet of you to say. Rebecca says, my all-time most memorable podcasts are the ones of personal stories of people getting married later in life. So, Nancy Lee DeMoss, Steve DeWitt's two-part episode, and the lady who got married for the first time in her late 70s.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes.
That's so cute. Have been my most memorable and favorite. It's so good to be reminded that God's timing is perfect and that we need to put our trust and knowledge of God's truth and plan over our emotions. It was so encouraging to hear that Steve DeWitt was praying for his wife every week for 25 years since high school. Amazing. That is really admirable and great to know there are guys out there doing that.
That is. That's really cool. Jamie says, 5 years ago, my mom kept sending me links to Boundless content.
Oh, thanks,
good
Mom.
Good for Mom. All right. Little did I know that after finally reading an article, this was the beginning of hundreds of hours of reading articles and binge listening to podcasts as I traveled.
I hope he told his mom.
Well, she knows now. I do have to say, though, Joshua Rogers brings me the greatest joy in his straightforward thoughts for us guys since, let's be honest, most of us need a Joshua Rogers in our lives.
That's so true.
Yeah, they do.
Diana says, I loved the episode last winter with Bianca Olthoff. She shared so many practical lessons and offered advice from her own life. She said, don't let your forgetfulness affect God's faithfulness, and encouraged us to invite other people into the conversation in our lives to share their experience with us. Other speakers I've enjoyed include Lori Pulitz Short, Ray Vanderlaan, Zach and Sally Crippen, Mandy Hale, Alan Lisa Robertson, and Nancy Lee DeMoss. Because of The Boundless Show, I'm more aware of the blessings of singleness. That's good. I have more hope for the future and a better understanding of how I can live for Christ. I'm encouraged in knowing there are many other Christian young adults trying to find their place in the world.
All right. And proof that some people actually care about money and figure out what they're doing with their money. Nikita says, my favorite guest on the show was the money couple. They totally changed my view on money and my relationships with others. I'm now more aware of my habits and I'm sensitive to the habits of others in regards to spending and saving.
All right. Well, David wrote in, and this is what he had to say. He said, as I think back, not me. By the way, this is another David. Okay. It's not me.
You're Dave.
As I think back on the years of listening to the show, what stands out most to me is a comment that Lisa made about wanting not just any marriage, but a marriage that she could sing about. I just got married at the beginning of June. I'm 33, and during the years of hoping to find my wife, I sometimes felt crushed by a sense of urgency and discouragement that maybe I would miss my chance because I was being too careful.
Oh, I've been there.
After ending a couple of dating relationships, I finally came to a similar conclusion as Lisa's, that I would much rather serve the Lord as a single than be alone in a marriage where my wife and I could not share the same dreams and hopes for our lives. Now I am in a marriage that I can and do sing about. I so appreciate how your ministry walked with me through this journey and helped me toward a balance of taking risks and hanging on to contentment.
Ooh, that was a good one. Selah says, every Thursday there's something on The Boundless Show I need to hear that I wouldn't have thought to look into myself. Boundless is helping me to become a better person in all the roles I fill, whether it's as a sister, employee, Christian, daughter, friend, or straight-up human being. I've been a loyal Focus listener for almost a decade, and the amount of books I've bought as a result of The Boundless interview is close to exceeding those purchased after listening to Focus broadcasts. Wow. Yeah,
we hope to exceed them pretty soon. Gloria, this is so cute. She says, I was a dateless wanderer all through my 20s and only had one serious relationship in my 30s before my husband came along. I had the complex of what is wrong with me for years. Since the age of 25, I had a desire to get married. In his sovereignty and perfect time, God had me wait 10 years to marry, and I went through so much growth, grieving, and amazing life experiences in the process. Boundless, you helped me see my need to chill, to trust God, and recognize the most important thing about a future husband is his heart for the Lord. Thank you for encouraging this dateless wanderer, now turned wife, to pursue God, not shallow ideals. Thank you for preparing me for dating in an intentional, pure, and Christ-honoring way. I still listen to the podcast even today, because whether married or single, there's always good wisdom in it.
I love that one.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Hakeem said, I've been a listener for 2 years now, and I really appreciate your show. I came across you guys while listening to Moody Radio Nashville in my car one day, and I've been hooked ever since. I appreciate the biblical perspective on dating that I've learned from your programs. What's cool about this from Hakeem is that really we've only been on radio for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Podcasts have been going on since 2008, but just recently on radio, and people are already hooked.
Very fun.
Wow, that is cool. Speaking of, here are a few of Catrice's favorite podcasts, the one where the couple talked about how they were not wisely purchasing groceries, ate everything in their pantry, and began buying only what they needed when they shopped. That sounds like a good idea. Another was a podcast on singleness where Lisa mentioned being a friendly magnet in a church group.
Still am.
Finally, I think my favorite two are the recent podcast on prayer and the one where Lisa Anderson was interviewed.
Well, that was one of my favorites. No, I'm just teasing. Juliet, love that name, by the way. I love the name Juliet. Said, somehow I found Boundless and was hooked. I felt like finally someone got me, gave great advice, and found people who give great advice. I've sent my parents a couple of episodes that they needed to hear, or just to say this is what I deal with in the church. It's definitely helped our relationship and me with the idea of embracing singleness and, gasp, even being happy with my singleness. I get so happy on Thursday mornings knowing I will have a new Boundless episode to listen to on the way to work. I want to say thank you for encouraging me and identifying with Christian singles and empowering us.
Arthur says, I've listened to all 500 episodes.
Wow. Arthur gets the award.
Is there a way we can verify that, Arthur?
We'll probably get proof.
Probably. Boundless helped me to learn how to start dating and how to prepare for marriage. My wife and I listened to many episodes together while we were dating. I was a part of Pursuit 2014, where I met a man named Nick. When people heard we met at a singles conference and that we were from San Francisco, I had to clarify that we're just friends. In 2015, he was a groomsman in my wedding, and in 2017, I was a groomsman in his wedding.
Awesome. I love that one.
That's cool.
And Leah says, a few of my favorite podcasts are the all-male ones.
Of course they are.
Mine too.
And the fertility one with the doctors. A funny story about that one. I was prepping for a 5K that was sponsored by our Crisis Pregnancy Center as a fundraiser. I hadn't finished the podcast on fertility in your 30s and wanted to start with it when I started the race. Good idea. I pulled up the app to listen to Boundless and pressed play to ensure that my headphones were working. Well, I couldn't hear anything, so I turned the volume way up. The next words I heard and everyone else around me were sperm count. I wanted to die. I frantically shoved my headphones into the jack and stopped the podcast. So embarrassing. To contrast with this humorous story, some good thought-provoking podcasts I enjoyed are about dating apps and how to break up with your significant other. Ooh. No, just kidding. Those were hard ones to hear, but something so good to think and ponder on. God uses them so many times to convict or teach me.
Hmm. All right. Well, Rebecca says, Boundless has blessed me through these years of prolonged and unexpected singleness. I'm 38, much older than I thought I'd be as a single woman. Sometimes friends or family members say insensitive things to me, and it feels like no one understands. Then I listen to a podcast or read a blog post, and I feel less alone. I remember a couple episodes when Candace and Lisa cried when talking about singleness. That meant a lot to me. Through Boundless, I realized it's okay, even normal, to desire marriage and to pray boldly for it.
Well, here we have one from Holly, and Holly actually is a brand new listener.
Woo-hoo.
And this is kind of interesting. She said, had you asked me a week ago what my favorite podcast was, I'd have responded the White Horse Inn without a second thought. Now, what's funny about that is that Andrew Hess, Boundless Success Story, got married to Jen, and they met at Pursuit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he works at the White Horse Inn now. He's been on the podcast a lot. You've probably heard him on some roundtables. Anyway,
so funny.
We're forgiving him for moving on to the White Horse.
True. Andrew, you need to write to us. You know, tell us what's going on now. You don't talk to us anymore now that you're married. What's going on with that? Anyway, now there might be a tie. Last week, my sister-in-law and I were talking about Marshall Siegel's book, Not Yet Married, and she told me that he was a guest on the Boundless podcast. Boundless, I queried. What on earth is that? We all want to know, really. She went on to explain the mission of the podcast, how the host is a lot like me, smart, funny, and spunky, and how grounded the show is in God. Of course, I had to investigate. I am now hooked.
Yay. That one was good.
Okay, and finally, this one came in not too long ago, but we wanted to include it because Carol is just so cute here. She says, I can't possibly convey how your podcast and the entire Boundless Ministry has blessed my life. I'm an African-American single woman. I've just completed listening to all of your episodes backwards, which was funny and weird. I started a single women's ministry last week at my church. We're just getting started, but everyone is fired up about, quote, being intentional about their dating and just the way we live our lives for Christ, unquote. Congratulations on 500 episodes. Please, another 500. So
awesome.
Oh, I love
yay.
That.
You guys, thanks everyone for writing in and for showing really your support of the show over these past 500 episodes, for being awesome, for visiting us here in our offices in Colorado when you pop by, for writing to us, and just for choosing to be impacted and changed by life-changing content and especially the contributors we have on the show. We appreciate you. We love you. And we're hoping for 500 more as well. Thanks, Dave and Catherine, for helping read testimonials.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Lopes up.
All right, folks. Well, that is it for this week's show. We do want to hear from you. Write to us at editor@boundless.org. What did you think about this week's show? Of course, pop over to the blog and you can comment straight up on the blog about it and get a conversation going. Reminiscing. We can continue to reminisce about all our favorite episodes and all that. But thanks for being part of the journey with us. We appreciate you and we will see you around next week for 501. I'm Lisa Anderson for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org, focused on the family.